Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Joining me today, Pacific Legal Foundation attorney Miriam L. Hubbard, who was on the program in August of 2018. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Miriam Hubbard.
Thank you.
I noticed you got the L in there. A lot of attorneys put that initial in there. You just want to make sure there's no one else out there so you distinguish yourself. Why is that?
I don't know. Everyone seems to do it, so I've always done it.
And then, of course, it just reminds me of L. Ron Hubbard, but no relation, I'm sure,
no.
Right?
No relation at all.
And the spelling of your name is a little unusual, Miriam.
It is.
Is that a family name? Is it a...
My mother's best friend was named Miriam with the same spelling, and so she named me that.
Oh.
With the same spelling.
Oh, well, that's...
And I've had people tell me that it's Persian, and I don't know. I have no idea, but I don't mind.
Did they call you Mary for short in
no.
school?
Nope. It's always been Miriam.
May I call you Mary? No, I'm kidding.
So, if you want to.
So, this... Pacific Legal Foundation joined the Santa Barbara Association of Realtors and filed a suit against the City of Santa Barbara, wanting them to abandon the Santa Barbara City Zoning Inspection Report required on all escrows. And Miriam was on back in August 2018 to discuss this. As a reminder, Santa Barbara at that time was one of only 20 out of 482 municipalities that require the zoning report. So you might think, wow, this, you know, you might think at first glance, well, everybody does this. But everybody doesn't. Carpinteria does. They used to do condos as well, but they eliminated condos. Carpinteria never had condos. So Pacific Legal Foundation, City of Santa Barbara, the Santa Barbara Association of Realtors, banded together to file a lawsuit. Now, when we spoke in August, where were you at in the process? Had you just filed it, or?
We had filed, and we had also had motions before the court, and the court did not like our arguments, and they gave us a chance to have a rehearing, and the judge never approved of our arguments. And here's part of the problem. When we started, the Santa Barbara Board of Realtors hired us as their attorneys, and we were interested in getting rid of basically the payments and the inspections. So we sent a letter to the city, and the city attorney changed the law and said, okay, you don't have to have an inspection. You still have to pay, and we're going to tell the purchaser that you would not allow us to come in and look around. So that, unfortunately, kind of killed the lawsuit.
So if you were the city attorney, would you characterize that as a shrewd legal maneuver to water down your lawsuit?
Yeah, more than watering it down, it basically kills it. Because then you don't have to let them come in and do their inspection. And there's a somewhat lower, I can't remember what it was, but they did lower the price of having, I guess because what the inspector would have to do then is to go through records and try and find out what kinds of amendments have been changed over the years at the house. So they still think there's a reason to have people pay for it. But the part about telling the new buyer that, you know, they wouldn't let us in to look at these things, so we can't verify anything. I mean, that could stop a purchase.
And just to clarify, when they did this, they gave a choice and said, well, we're not forcing you to do it. And if you don't do it, you still have to pay, and then they'll do a drive-by appraisal.
Right. They'll take, like, a picture from the sidewalk.
Right, just what they can see. So if someone had added a second story since they last bought the house and there was no permits on file for a second story, the zoning report could reveal that.
Right.
And what that did was that killed your lawsuit. And it created these drive-by zoning reports, and that has created problems.
Yes, because the city of Santa Barbara, there was a grand jury report that said that they did not have good records. So you're right that they could see something, and they don't have a record of, say, that addition, but they don't have good records, so it may be wrong. So, I mean, that is a problem. And the other issue that we had, that we fought for and did not win, is that because Santa Barbara is a charter city, the judge said that, well, okay, then so they have the right to change the law even without changing it in the ordinance. So they can interpret the law the way they want it.
Which is what they did.
Exactly. That's exactly what they did.
Go ahead.
So we tried to get them to change, okay, if that's what you want to do, get it out of the ordinance, because that's not what the ordinance says. The ordinance says you have to do this, and you can be either civilly and or criminally liable for not doing it. But they have not changed their ordinance at all, which means that they can at any time probably go change it again.
My guest is Miriam Hubbard, attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're discussing the lawsuit against the city of Santa Barbara on behalf of the Santa Barbara Association of Realtors to eliminate the Santa Barbara City zoning inspection. And the city had made a good defensive move, and therefore it kind of denuded the lawsuit completely. One of the things you asked for, was it about grandfathering in? Because a lot of the complaints that people have, because on the one hand, you could say, you know what? Having the city review records and, hey, you know, this wasn't done without a permit, or this is a zoning violation. And initially, back in the 70s, there were virtually no disclosures required by sellers. So it was kind of like, hey, this is a good look, see, you know, let's make sure that we're not doing something wrong. But the problem was that they wouldn't find something, and then they'd go back a second time after the buyer relied on that, and then when that buyer went to sell, they'd come back and say, oh, well, now you got to do this. And so there was nothing ever grandfathered in. Did you ever try to ask them to grandfather old reports in?
No, we didn't, because our real objective was a Fourth Amendment claim. The fact that you should not have to let the state come into your home and look around just because you're selling your residence. And that was our issue. We know that people who live in apartments, a lot of times they do have to let government in. And there are some reasons for that, because when you don't live in your own home, sometimes there are bad landlords. And so there are some reasons for it. We don't like it, but there are some reasons to do it with apartments. But when you're selling your home, there's no reason the government should come in and look around. That's what we're trying to get rid of. And like you said earlier, there are a number of jurisdictions here in California that have these inspections, that require these inspections. So we're going to try in different areas if we can find ones that have ordinances that we think we can challenge.
Now, you mentioned selling your home shouldn't trigger an inspection, Fourth Amendment right. And then you mentioned sometimes there is like a rentals, if you're a Section 8 tenant, annual inspections is required. I know that there was a proposal, I think, in maybe Santa Maria area, where they wanted to have any tenant be required to have inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fought and knocked down under the Fourth Amendment. It's a tricky thing because, you know, you do an inspection, you don't find anything, someone relies on it, and then they go to sell, and you go, well, you can't rely on it because now we went back and we found something. The other argument is, if you're a buyer, well, don't you want to know everything about the property? Isn't that a reasonable expectation? And it's true, but it's unfortunate that the city of Santa Barbara were just capricious about it, and it just was like holding on to a tiger's tail. You come in, they said nothing's wrong. You come back 2 years later, and you go, there's this, and this is wrong. And it went from, let's just make sure that there's no zoning violations, to every, building code, and it just got very restrictive. I guess when someone applies for a permit, it allows the city to come in and do an inspection. And if they see something that's awry, they could make note of that. I don't know how invasive an inspection they do under building permits. Have you run into that?
No, and I don't think. I mean, they approve building permits, but they don't come in and look around
to find other items. Oh, you're correct. You know what I was thinking of?
Yeah.
I was thinking of, on the zoning reports, there would be minor violations that they wouldn't enforce. But if you ever wanted to get a permit to do something like even change a water heater, then it would trigger and the owner would be required to fix all the initial unenforceable, violations.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, simply because we tried to pick the one that would be the easiest to challenge, which would be a single-family home for sale. I mean, there are reasons to have government inspections. And, for instance, in some parts of California, I think, like, there was a big article about Fresno, and where there are a lot of immigrants and people who are living in really bad apartments and that kind of thing that are not kept up and everything. So there are reasons, but what they should have to do is go to a judge and have a judge that doesn't just automatically say, sure, you can go in and look around. The judge should actually look at the situation and say, okay, yes, we'll give you a warrant to go in. But that's not how it works, is the problem.
My guest is Miriam Hubbard, attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. So the lawsuit against the city it didn't proceed. The judge didn't approve the motions, and because of a change of position by the city of Santa Barbara, the lawsuit was actually moot. So what happens now? What's the next step?
Well, with the Santa Barbara issue, it's over for us, for the attorneys. Basically, from what I understand, they want to have an initiative that will be on the ballot and let the people who live there decide.
That's my understanding. I can't ever remember the difference between an initiative and a referendum, but let's go with initiative. And that's coming up in the spring of 2019, and signatures will be collected. And I, you know, must the city abide if it gets on the ballot as an initiative?
Well, that's interesting. I think the city would have to approve the initiative, you know, like the number of signatures, and kind of they would have their city attorney look at it and see if it's something that is, you know, properly stated and everything. So hopefully they would have people who know how to do these kinds of initiatives, know how to write them. So it's unclear, shall I say.
Well, let's say everything's approved. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the parameters are for putting things on the ballot. I know last year when they put on the ballot that they wanted to repeal the gas tax, and apparently the people, they wanted to name it, repeal the gas tax, but it was the government agencies involved didn't want it to win, so they actually named it something that was misleading.
Right.
And it ended up losing.
Yep.
But, I mean, what's the restrictions? Can the city say, well, you can't have this on the ballot because, you know, this is the law and you have to follow the law? I mean, what's the parameters of an initiative? What if you wanted to say, you know, we want green lights to mean stop and red lights to mean go? That's on the ballot. Now, you know, where's the boundary line there?
Well, unfortunately, there isn't a good line, and I believe someone was trying to change it so that the Attorney General in the state initiatives, like with the gas tax, that they are trying to get it, I'm not sure if it's a bill or an initiative or what, that they're trying to get it so that they have to have truthful titles on these things. But I think it's just generally probably at the city, in cities and the state, that they have just been able to do whatever they want so far.
Right. Right, yeah, I heard
so,
about...
Yes, they can kill it by calling it something that that it isn't. But I suspect also that people who live in the city may pay a little bit more attention than, say, like the whole state of California.
Yes, have a better chance. But yeah, I did hear that they were trying to petition the Attorney General to eliminate. It's kind of like having the fox guard the hen house. You know, you just, if you have initiatives, you should be able to follow that path as opposed to someone sabotaging them.
We've had a lot of initiatives at the California state level that have been very, very misleading. And unfortunately, most people don't want to look at the explanations in the ballot or in their ballot pamphlet. And so people just go by what the title is.
My guest is Miriam Hubbard, Senior Attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation. Coming to the end of our time together, Miriam, I so appreciate you joining me. And looking down at my notes from when you were on in August of 2018, you had a success of a case, Troutwine versus the City of Highland.
I did. They changed their ordinance after we sued them. They changed the ordinance to say that that the actual owner of the of rental property can go in and do a kind of a self-inspection and send a piece of paper to the city.
Okay, so this was not a point of sale case. This was on rentals.
This was a rental, yeah. But I mean, that was a good win because for the owner to be able to just self police himself, unless like there's a tenant that's upset about something, then basically the city's out of it except for collecting the money.
Right.
For permits. And that kind
nobody has successfully eliminated this zoning inspection from a city as of yet.
Right. And we don't suspect they will, but what we want to do is keep government out of it. So even if it's the owner of a rental home that's going in and checking everything, I mean, that's okay because that's not government.
Right. And certainly, as you mentioned, I mean, there's certainly bad apples in every walk of life and in every industry. And I don't know the whole industry statewide in Santa Barbara, predominantly the landlords are, you know, are looking to have a habitable, clean, wonderful place. And the vast majority of rentals are fine. And you do get instances where things go haywire, but it's certainly not the rule, but the exception. Yeah.
Right. And in some areas, I mean, you can get a warrant to cover a certain part of a city. If you have some really terrible part of the city where you know that people are not being, that the landlords are not taking care of their properties, and especially where you have people who are illegally in the state, they're afraid to complain. So there are these where you can get a jurisdiction where you can go in and look at these places. And I think that's okay if there's a reason.
Miriam Hubbard, Senior Attorney, Pacific Legal Foundation, thank you for joining me. Last question, did you vote for the initiative to stop the time change in California that won and the legislature has passed and now it's going to Congress?
I did. So, I like daylight savings time.
I voted for it too. But here's the confusing part. Are we going to stay on standard time? I thought, I'm going back and forth on this with Arizona, because Arizona doesn't change their clocks. And right now, we're not on the same time as Arizona. So I'm thinking we would stay on standard time. But I'm not 100% on that.
Well, neither am I.
But
I'm just hoping. I like to drive home from work in the sunlight as opposed to the dark.
Right. Well, what you should do is half the year live in part of the world where the sun is, just work from home. Miriam Hubbard, thank you so much for joining us from the Pacific Legal Foundation.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a break. And what were the last two states admitted to the country? And how about the last two states before then? How many were admitted in the 1900s versus the 1800s and 1700s? And how small does a small house have to be in order for it to go under the Department of Motor Vehicles instead of real property tax? Yeah, you'll find out when we return.